Welcome to the September 2010 Message of the Month, featuring the President, Founder, and Guiding Light of Light Within, David Hulse. This month's message was recorded during the Sunday morning of the 19th Annual Labor Day Weekend Retreat at Bergamo Center in Dayton, Ohio, and is titled, The Prodigal Son. For more information, you can contact us at Light Within, 3195 Dayton Xenia Road, Suite 900-331, Dayton, Ohio, 45434, or call 937-912-9229. On the web, of course, at www.lightwithin.com. Be sure and stay tuned on the end of the CD for a special message from David to Message of the Month subscribers. Until next time, remember, your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us. We now join David and friends on Sunday morning of the 19th Annual Labor Day Retreat at the Bergamo Center in Dayton, Ohio, where the Sunday morning message has just begun.
This is the little simple story of the prodigal son. Now, we'll see how this version goes. See how they see it. It starts out that there's a man who has two sons. Now, I want you to go behind the symbolism with me here. Let's get metaphysical. Let's even go maybe behind metaphysics. Sometimes metaphysics becomes its own symbol. Let's go to the essence. I like the word essence. Let's find the essence, the soul of something. You know, there's great artists that have drawn, I'm not real, a name's not coming to me, but someone, let's say, like, who's a great artist?
Give you
Monet?
Monet's
a good one. Or some of those that drew a piece of fruit, or a vase, a piece of fruit, and it's worth $24 million today. I was just reading in a magazine. That picture's worth. Now, how many people has drawn a piece of fruit and a vase? Maybe better. Some of them really. Some of the pictures are a little strange. If you look at Picasso and you look at some of these abstract, geometrical, designed paintings, are not really for the attraction of being so beautiful. So what makes the difference? And somebody who really can paint a piece of fruit, a bowl of fruit, or a vase or something, and it's really good. I mean, it's almost, man, that is really good. And it's not worth $24.
They're not dead. They're not
because dead. That's true, too, but we're not going that level. Let's go a little deeper than that. Nobody's dead in the first place, so that's an incorrect statement. But what I read that just fascinated me was this. This is what I took away from the story I was reading whenever it was reading that stayed with me, is that those who painted set with an empty canvas until they found the soul of what they were going to paint. They found the soul of the piece of fruit, or the soul of the vase, or the soul of the picture. And when people look at it, they love it. Because it was not just a two-dimensional or three-dimensional or whatever dimensional painting, but it is, they've captured what makes an apple an apple. What makes a certain scene what it is? What makes that tree a tree? And they waited until the spirit came of what they wanted to paint. You know, if we break that down into our everyday life of sometimes learning these pauses and wait for the spirit to come before we said something to somebody, it may have a different outcome completely. But we don't know how to find the spirit of what we are doing. I want to share that with you. I could take something as simple as this little, but if I don't find the soul that's in this today, It's just another story out of the Bible, and you're wondering, why is he up there with a Bible in the first place? It's because I'm free. That's why there's a Bible up here. I can do what I'm led and guided and feel to do. So, when I read this, I just waited for, what is the spirit of this message that has to do with the prodigal son? So let's look at it. Did I lose my place? There was a man who had two sons. Well, that's suspect right there. How can there be two sons if what we've heard this weekend and we've heard for years and there's only one? So how can there be two sons? There's only one begotten son. And that is the essence of who you are. Whether you call it the Christ self or the spiritual self or the pure energetic self, I don't care what you call it. But there is that essence that we all share. We're heirs together in the grace of life. There's one thing that cannot be changed of any being that lives on this planet who can express in any way, and that is, I exist. Sitting there, you cannot be not emanating that message that I am and I exist. There may be meetings going on of all kinds this morning in this city. I'm sure there's a meeting going on somewhere in this city where somebody is jumping up and saying, I am saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm on my way to heaven. Across town, there may be an AA meeting where somebody is saying, I am an alcoholic. And every shade in between. Maybe there's some Republicans somewhere in this town, huh? Who are proud to say, I'm a Republican. Somewhere else, there's somebody proud to say, I'm a Democrat. There's somebody that's even saying, I'm even proud to be an atheist. But all my brain hears is atheist, Democrat, Republican. All I hear is the physical label, the mental, psychological label that is put. I never hear that it all comes from sacred ground. But the first thing before the label, the real self gets the first word in. I am, I exist. That we have to share. So let me hurry. I don't do this too long, guys. So if there's not two sons, then there's only one son. But there seems to be two levels of things going on here in that son. And of course, when the ego puts out the story, you know, it has to give every aspect a part because life is a stage. And we're all writing and producing and directing. And the worst part of what we do, I should say the worst part, but the most concerning part of what we do is the auditions for the parts. You know, all the unfinished aspects of lifetimes and whatever become little constructs of roles that you need to prove is true, because if they're not true within themselves, you've got to have things around you that make them appear to be true. For instance, if you buy into the idea that you've been abused, then you're going to have to prove, you know, you've been abused by drawing an abuser into your life to abuse you, so you can say, I told you. I'm a victim and I'm abused. So really, we have to be careful about attractions. This is one thing I really tell people. Be careful how and what level you're attracted to another human being or to anything, a circumstance or a person. You know, we still have this leftover mammalian urge to reproduce, to procreate. I'm not saying we all want to find somebody and have a baby with them, but we want to use that method of procreation by bringing everything into a sexual attraction. So everything we think we're attracted to, we think there's something sexual about it, because we have had to have that for so long as a survival of the species. So it stays around. It stays around as a deep imprint within us. And lots of people get in a lot of trouble because they think that they are attracted to a person and don't understand the purpose behind the attraction and what the attraction was for. Now, to move from procreation to co-creation is a whole different ballgame. And it's a little bit more fun if you let it be. Because in our culture and society, usually we only get one, at a time at least, partner or marriage partner or whatever in which to procreate with. Maybe you've had more, but one at a time, I assume. Anybody here from the 60s? But when you co-create, you can attract anybody and everybody and multiple partners. Male, female, men, women. Because there's something powerful about co-creating an idea out of a group that is very powerful. To come up with a group idea. More of this needs to be to go on. I've not been in the situation. I'm trying to position myself in a situation where I could do more of these things. I can't do it with most of you because you live in other states and other places, and I see you only every few months. This is why I'm kind of leaning toward settling somewhere on a local, where I can have a local group, because there's some local things that I want to do than just belt it out there every once in a while and get you excited about it. That's fun too, but sometimes we don't have that mystical union of conception. I would love to conceive with many of you above the waist. Got quiet. Above the waist. I would love to spend more time in your presence. Now, I'm not big on the computer. I'm sorry. It dilutes something down to me. I'm not going to sit and communicate with you all the time on email. I don't want to do it. Some of you tried to contact me on Facebook. Not going there. I'm sorry. I'm cutting it down. I'm with Betty White on that one. You just saw that on Saturday Night Live. Even the phone doesn't quite do it. It's too much magnetic fields, too low fields. I don't, this long distance stuff, I'm sorry. I believe in it, but I don't think it's over technology. I'd rather you just do it through the energy channels, pure. I'm not going to do it with you on the phone. Done enough of that. That don't work. Again, I'm not saying I don't believe in long distance healings, but I don't need to use technology as it is now necessarily to do that. And I'm not trying to badmouth it completely. It has its place, and I know how important it is in its area. But to be in the presence, I still love it when somebody writes me a note and it comes through the mail. Now, I like that. That's about one of the better things of not being with them, is to get a handwritten letter. And I still have a few people on the CD of the month that still write me and have for years and write just a note. And I'll put that on my desk and leave it for a long time. That's how much it means to me. But if you give me an email, I read it and it's deleted. Anybody get what I'm talking about? I'm talking about essence. I'm talking about communion, union. I'm talking about partaking of the bread of life, the wine of life. I'm talking about drinking from one another, eating from the bread of life and substance of one another. I'm talking about an intimacy that some of us have never found in the lower realms that we keep looking for. Ah, I'm getting off. The younger son says to his father, give me my share. Now, this says property, but there's many things. But I'm going to use the word, give me my inheritance. I am your son, therefore I carry an extended inheritance. I've inherited the ability to create. I inherited, just as your children inherit from you, the ability to reproduce and all the things that you have done, they too have the ability to do also. And of course, the other one stayed home. So there's kind of two levels going on here in the sense of one level, something never left, didn't go anywhere. I mean, where are you going to go? You ever tried to... I've been one of these people. This is confession. One year they gave me a miniature U-Haul truck with my name on it for my 40th anniversary. Or 25th anniversary. Remember that? Because I had moved so much. Because I kept thinking I could get away from me.
Wherever you went, there you were.
And I did. And when I got there I was. And I'm still kind of on the move a little bit. You can't get away. There's a part of you that just is, has no beginning, has no end, no birth, no death. Amen. You can call it the God part, the divine part. I don't care what your terminology is, but that is truth. That is truth. If you could build from that point your consciousness from that point that you are, and you know that, maybe the only thing you know at this point, but that's a good place to start with what you know. Follow the knowing. So he takes his inheritance. And what I wanted to bring out this morning, and I've said this for a long time, that I would like to put together some workshops sometimes about energy management investment programs. People need, the time is so, for a better word, urgent in the sense of alignment and magnetic fields and what's happening to time space and affecting us at the cellular level and how our electrons are spinning and all this stuff that is going on, that it is so important that you realize that you need to enter into an energy investment management program that gives you the fulfillment of your life purpose in this incarnation. Now, I have to say one of the reasons that I brought Dave and then in was not only my fascination with 2012 and all of that, which I told you I've been playing in, but that's not really what drew me, although I liked the way it was. But I tell you, it was because I knew they came from A Course in Miracles. And I liked where they were coming from. It was important to me as much as what they had to say is where you're coming from. Because you all know A Course in Miracles was one of the great saving graces of my life in 1988. It was a profound experience for me. Some of you never got it, some of you not interested in it, some of you never picked it up. That's your thing. For me, it was the languages within my head. I had the word sin in my head. I had the word hell in my head. I had the word Holy Spirit in my head. I had the word Jesus in my head. And therefore, it gave my brain a new program to work with that was different than the other one that had been given to me through biblical fundamentalist religion. So anyway, What I'm getting to is, and here's what I kind of see, for what it's worth. Now I'm into the storytelling right now. This is my theory, my belief. Take what you want. We know we have free energy. We know that energy is something that is available. And anyone who's tapped into that has sort of been silenced by the powers to be, whether it was Tesla or other great fathers and grandfathers of free energy and the use of energy and how to use it beyond the limitations of how it was being used with the masses. But today there's not many places to hide, so we've come to the conclusion that we have access to tremendous amounts of free energy, that there is not an energy crisis in that way, that energy is available and has always been available to us. But because of evolutionary purposes, our instinct that we have passed down through our ancestral genetics has been for one purpose, and that is survival. That would be the epithet of Homo sapien, is we are the species of survival. We've survived wars, we've survived famine, we've survived. And many of you, it's all about, you really feel pretty successful if you're driving a pretty decent car and making that payment every month, and you got a house and you're making that payment every month. Today, that's pretty successful in America. And you got some food to eat and maybe a little bit of money in the bank. You're just pretty successful, but you're still surviving. It's still survival mode. And we've been promised. Now, for me, Jesus becomes that pattern. You know, I had to re-find Jesus. You have to lose something to find it. So don't be afraid to lose God to find really what God is. He who loses his soul shall find it. And that's the thing that everybody's so frightened of, is to go into that pause, to go into that gulf, to go into that, I don't know what I believe. It was scary. I was doing very well in the late 80s. I had a good ministry going. I had a lot of things going. For me to have to get up and say, I don't know what I believe anymore. I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if I believe in anything. People ran who had been in my ministry for years. I'm not sitting under this guy. They didn't know what he believes. But I had to go into my darkness. There's treasures in the darkness. Carl Jung says that the darkness is undeveloped light. David in Psalms says, oh God, make me like you. He sees light and darkness as the same. I understood there's something for us in the deep part of the dark side of our souls. Treasures of memories to retrieve. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm not getting very fast. But I did come to that place where I was willing to feel the pain of the dying out. There were a lot of things I didn't like about myself, but I was familiar with it. And familiarity wins over pain a lot of times. People that are familiar with pain and make pain an aspect of their life, a part of their life, people who have been so-called victimized or abused, if they make that a part of their identity, the idea of it dying frightens them. We are the most afraid of authentic, true self and pure love than anything. It's not the love I'm not going to get well. It's the love I might get well. Then who will I be? I won't be treated the same way. I've learned to use it, to manipulate, to control. I've learned to use it as an excuse. So even though there were parts of myself at that time I didn't believe and I didn't like, I was familiar with it. I had it down. I've been doing it for a long time. I knew how to move the crowd. I knew how to whip it up. I knew how to do those things. And to get up and just say, I surrender. And feel the dying of my own ego, a false identity, the identity of being the man of the hour. I love that one. I tell you, and now we have Brother David Holtz, the man of the hour. The man of God. And then back in the 80s, I really got a good. They all decided I was an apostle. I think I still have a degree. Not a degree, but a certificate. They gave me a certificate and ordained me an apostle. I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Apostle David? A lot to live up to, though. You gotta watch these labels, I'll tell you. But to just say, I don't know. And I was going to Denver every month to minister, every month in like 87, 86. And Marianne Williamson was really just getting her start by going to Denver with Course in Miracles. It was all over the town. It was all over Denver. It was Course in Miracles meetings. And of course, my people were going, my people, but the people coming to me was going there and bringing me tapes. And I heard it. I just heard it. And it was a great bridge for me. That's what I'm saying there. Let me get to what I want to say here. So we've learned this weekend, as you've learned not only this weekend, but for myself, and I've tried to tell you that there is an aspect of ourself that can't go anywhere because it is what it is. It's transcendent of time and space. I like to call it the created aspect of self. And I remember at that time, remember you that was with me back in those days, we used to have a paper called The Extension because I thought, I love this idea that creation was extension. That something extended itself. Love that idea. Then going out here and getting some dirt and creating something out of it. I thought, extending itself, how powerful. That it is itself. Expressed. I got it. Just got it. I mean, I knew this. I'd heard some of these metaphysical ideas. I was reading Joel Goldsmith and all these people. Intellectually, I love the ideas, but I didn't get it. It's so wonderful when you get it, or it gets you. I don't know who gets what, but I got it. That there's an aspect of us that is that which created us. First place in A Course in Miracles, and I may be paraphrasing it, you know it better than me, but one of the first things that I picked up the book and it said, it was something like this, supposedly Jesus saying, I do not need your praise for I have no ego until you receive it. But you need to praise because it centers you in the love that you are. For teach love, that is what you are. That's why I still try to do the praising. Because when I'm praising something and loving something, I'm in myself. Because I am that love. I'm not giving it to something. I mean, for pity's sake, I think about the way I was raised and how we used to try to praise God and praise Jesus like they were having a bad day. I thought, oh, lift him up, lift Jesus up. I thought, is he depressed? I thought, I need to be lifted up, but forget me, I got to go lift Jesus up today. This is a tough burden to carry. Didn't get it. Didn't tell anybody because I didn't have anybody to tell it to, but I didn't get it why I was there to maybe make God in a better mood so he'd heal somebody. Peace God with my praises. But when I read that, I understood that praise is what centers me. When I'm loving anything and extending that love toward it, it's bringing me back home to me where I've never left. For it's not something I have, and then I don't have, and then I have, and then I don't have, but it's something that I am.
Amen.
It is from that sacred ground that I take off my shoes, my bindings of my feet, of my understanding, of my limitation to walk forward into the fullness of life's purpose that I am, who's incarnated as this human, in this human experience. So it's the son that went away that interests me, because I believe when it says the son went to a far land, it was about this far. Between your ears, somewhere. Somewhere between your ears and your brain went to a far land of separation. To a far land, not that far. But you can go really far. If you let your brain take it, it can take you far away from yourself. And he took the inheritance. And the inheritance is the energy that you are given in a lifetime to fulfill your purpose in that lifetime. But because of mismanagement of that life energy, call it chi, call it vital energy, call it what you want, because we come to a free will planet and we don't, our religions, our churches and our religions did not teach us how to distribute and invest our spirit well. So we invested our spirit into crazy relationships, people we thought we had fallen in love with. Oh my God, I got a book on that, you know. Everybody needs to read that little tiny book, but you should never. If somebody says, I fell in love with you, run the other way. You don't want to fall anywhere. If somebody says, I love you or I'm in love with you, let's rise together into a evolved state, that's fine. But if somebody says, I just fell in love with you. Or I love this one. No, I don't really. I love you to death. Please, not necessary. You don't need to love me to death. Love me to life. Stop that. Tune your language. I'll just die for you. I'll just die for that. And we wonder why we die. So he goes into his far land, and there he begins to spend what he has. King James says with riotous living. This has a different word. I can't find it, but it's all kinds of different words. But the point is, didn't know what to do with his inheritance. Had no direction to use it. Didn't know how. I love Carolyn Mace's whole idea of this. You that have know her and read her stuff. She does a lot of this talking about where you're putting your spirit, who you're plugging your spirit into, what situations you're putting your spirit in, how you're investing your spirit. Because if you're putting in the wrong place, then you have a lower, what I call lower soul tie. And you got to watch that. These are people you can't quite get away from, and you know you need to. And as a minister and a pastor for all these years, I've had a lot of people come to me and say, I know I'm in an abusive marriage, an abusive relationship, but I just can't seem to get away. I don't think I can live without this person. And they really don't care for this person. And I really, through the years, learned, if I can be blunt, I was told years ago that when two people come together and there is a sexual level of frequency of orgasm, that aspects of the soul enter each other. And it becomes a soul tie. That was years ago. That's why it's very careful. You need to be very careful where you emotionally and sexually reach this frequency. Yes. This frequency. Because what will happen is you got to keep them around because they got a little bit of your soul. And you're trying to keep yourself. So then, you that do healing work and whatever, that's a good aspect to discern and check people out and see, is there a soul ties that is in the life stream that need to be cleared? I think that's a very good thing for you to consider in your work with people. It's overlooked. That's why not everybody gets the same experience with these modalities, is because sometimes we don't hit the cause. You've got to find the root, the core, the cause of what is going on, because patterns repeat themselves over and over, build and build and build, and they become addictive. At some level, it becomes an addiction. And I've watched people get out of one abusive relationship and then call me 6 months later and say, I met the right one. I looked across the room. You just got a meeting. I said, okay. 5 seconds. Different form, same content. I thought, here we go again. Didn't change a thing. Just because you changed the body didn't mean you changed a thing. The same pattern and frequency pulled in the same drama again for you to go through. And each time it gets a little worse. You know, the Bible says if you don't get rid of these things, then they become seven times worse. Clearing. We need a lot of clearing in those deep areas. So he goes and he takes his share of his inheritance that belonged to him, and he gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, the country of a belief, I am separate, that I am no longer plugged in to any source or purpose. And when he had spent everything, now this is what's happening. I'll use me. I won't use any of y'all. I'll pick on me. They tell me that I have what's called burnout. And a lot of preachers, politicians, and people who for years and years and years give and talk and travel, you know, live in motels and eat god-awful food and do all this kind of thing. If you don't do it consciously, and most of us haven't done it too consciously, at some point, you know, the endocrine system, the lymph, all this kind of things just back up and you just get burned out. So I've just kind of gone through this burn out stage. Well, I don't think I'm alone. I think the planet's going to burn out. I think people are burnt out. I think people are tired. People, you can't make it without their 15 cups of coffee a day. How many of you, that's the first thing you did this morning? You got it, went right to the coffee. Sure. Or you get your 5-hour drink or whatever, because we're weary, we're tired. We need a replenishing is what I'm trying to get to. This is what I'm trying to head to this morning, that even though we have maybe spent our energy in more riotous living, that there's an abundance, an inexhaustible abundance and supply of life energy that can be restored to us today. So I'm inviting you in just a moment for us to enter into this place of renewal, restoration, regeneration, that we are born again in this moment with the freshness of a new part of our inheritance. If what I'm saying is on target and alignment, then you can leave this weekend with paint to paint your picture, an instrument to play your music. In other words, you'll have something in your account. We like Abraham's thing on the escrow thing. That's really good. You know, in your escrow account. Now, the way I told a group the other day was this. Wonder if when you were born, somebody in your family died and at your birth, you received $100 million. But you didn't know that. You spent your whole life trying to make ends meet. Trying to pay the car, just trying to do the best that you can. Can you imagine how it would change your life? That little bit of information. Somebody said, I've been looking for you. I want you to know that in a certain bank is $100 million. That is yours with interest. You know what? Everything that you wasn't able to manifest because of the limitation of finance now becomes unlimited. You can start manifesting. So that's what I want you to know today, that there is a lot more that is yours today that you haven't tapped into. And I want to bring the good news to you that it's available. That we don't have to keep living these Homo sapien mammalian survivalist lives any longer. Now, I'm not talking about so you can go out and buy the biggest new car or whatever, which is fine if you're using it to go and do your purpose, then have the best. More power to you. You know what I'm saying? However you use your energy, at every level, do it consciously. Do it with purpose. Do it with intent. Do it because of the bigger picture. And I want to say to you this morning, to you that I know, I hope that by having this weekend, that you are a little more now in the bigger picture. Some of you need to be in the bigger picture than your everyday life. Some of you need to be looking up at the sky and the stars and wondering what's happening with the sun and whatever. Then maybe you wouldn't be thinking so much about all the drama that's going on in your house. We're too focused. We're too pulled into the small picture of the mundane of our life. Maybe if you spend a little time more reading about 2012, it might give you some thoughts beyond all of your everyday challenges and situations. I have to do that. This is how I survive. This is how I survive. Because I'm very self-absorbed. Oh, aren't you nice? Aren't you nice? Well, I am. I mean, just being honest, I spend a lot of time thinking about my injuries and illnesses, and I mean, I'm really kind of neurotic. I'm bored here in Dayton. I don't have any friends, so I go to doctors every day, and chiropractors, and anybody. Just have a conversation with them. I go to doctors here in town just to pick up their tuning fork that they've got sitting over there. That $12 million worth of grant went into it to prove that it spikes nitric oxide. I just love picking that up. Saying, you know what you have here? Oh yeah, I've got a tuning fork here to check people's feelings in their feet. I said, no, you know, there's $12 million went into this 128 frequency tuning fork. You're kidding me. I get a charge out of it. My insurance pays it. I get a charge out of it. I go home. Some of you go play tennis. Some of you go do whatever. I go around and spread the good news that there's a better way. Oh dear, makes me hot, just to be honest. The point is that when he burned out and spent all that he thought he had in reckless living, not alignment to his divine purpose for why he was here, thinking this was going to make him happy, that having enough money is going to make him happy, being with the right partner is going to make him happy, da da da, have the right job is da da da. The thing is, he came to himself. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, the so-called journey started. And the journey or the path is actually the journey and the path to no path. That's the path. The path does not get you there. The path only gets you into awareness where you realize there is no path because you never left in the first place. All you have to do, you that your ego is still whispering you and saying, oh my God, you're in your 60s, you're in your 70s now. It's getting really late. You got a long way to go. I'm going to help you this morning and show you. So this guy gets up, comes to himself, shakes himself from all of the lower atmospheres of his thinking and his carnality of his mind, and begins this long journey back to his father's house because he knows his father is really worried, like, where did my kid go? I miss him so much. Well, he's thinking that, but he's thinking that about the son that didn't go anywhere, because the son that didn't go anywhere went somewhere in his head. So the father was concerned about that. You ever had that happen to people? Like, I wish I had them back again. I mean, they're there, but they really are somewhere else. Be nice if they would really come back to you. You know, they fall into a deep hole of depression or some kind of a mental, emotional place within themselves where you kind of lost them. They're there, but they're kind of lost in themselves. Don't know what to do with their life. Some of you have kids that way.
Amen.
You know, they don't want to do with their life. They don't want a job. They don't stick with anything. You know, they play around with the drugs. They do this. They do that. A lot of that's going on today. And you think, man, I wish I really missed that little boy, that little girl I once had that had the ambition, wanted to grow up and be a doctor or policeman or whatever. Well, that's what's going on with this guy. But the son thinks he's gone because he's in separation. So he's separated. Dad's looking for him and whatever. So he gets up and he begins his path. And thank good for that path. But the path only brought him to the place where he got close enough in awareness. And when you get into awareness, you collapse time. Time is totally the illusion that it is. It is disappears.
No more.
And he looked and he says, wait a minute. Is there a message in that song? It's getting powerful up here. Thank you, dear. You know, I always say I bring a bunch of notes and stuff to kind of fool my left brain because it thinks it's got something to talk about. And I never get there. Okay, I'm winding down. How are we doing on time here? This is my one thing here, so stay with me. So he comes back far enough into awareness where he says, man, my father is not alone. Is not alone. And that's all you got to do. You got to get just back far enough to realize that what you're working so hard to attain has already been attained in creation. It's finished. It's done. You can't add to one thing of who you are. All we want is for the illusion to dissipate and to melt away. Because the ego wants to keep us into mental works. It doesn't want you to have fun with your spirituality. It wants you to be so serious with it because you've got to attain it. You've got to get it at every cost. The best thing you could do to undo the pseudo-self is to play, laugh, have a good life, have good friends that share, that are frequency matches in your life. Sing, sound, love, even eat good food. Don't you get kind of tired of that one too? I mean, I try. If I really have a good time, I just kind of let that go. You'll have a good time. Eat what I want. Because it's fun. Feels good. Are you with me? So, he got just close enough in this time because a famine was in the land and he began to be in great need. How many of us have a list of needs? You know, I need help. I need to find the right doctor. I need to find the right modality. I need to find the right guru. I need to find the right philosophy. We feel like we're in such lack and need. And the real truth about it is, The real truth about it all is, and I wrote this down, I'll read it. If you could get perfectly clear, what is what you want. Let that sink in. What is what you want. Now, I know there's a part of your brain that says, I don't think so. But there's a more deeper essence of yourself that is constantly attempting to create everything in your life that is for your highest good, that's going to bring you to the fruition of your incarnation and your soul life. Now, this reincarnation thing, if you're a Course in Miracles person, it's kind of interesting. Most people do believe reincarnation, I guess, in Course in Miracles. So people ask me, do I believe in it? And I say, no. And do you teach it and talk about it? Yes. That really confuses them. Because I've got two levels here. I'm multidimensional. Do you realize that's happening more? I keep telling people. I've just noticed the last few years, Dottie, the more people you give them a question, it's not so black and white, but it's yes, and then you see them go to another level, and they go at a certain level, but nothing is so black and white as we become more multidimensional in that. So I agreed, and I appreciate what was said yesterday about the fact that all this has happened at the same time. It's all in the vertical. If I was Steven Spielberg, or if I was a great author or writer, and I got a storyline, and I could see it from the beginning, how it was going to happen, the climax of it, and how it was going to end, and that's all in my mind, I can't give it to you that way. I got to lay it down in a story form, frame by frame, and build it in linear time so you can get my story. And that's what happened to creation. All creation just happened. Everything was created perfectly and whatever, but we play out the story. Unfortunately, the real story has pretty much got lost, and we have started making up a different story. Yeah. So we got to get real back to the real storyline. So this is just a, for a better word, thought. And I use thought differently than mind and brain, but this is the thought of the heart. If you could perfectly get clear, that is, what is in your life right now is really what you want, because it is working and shaping you to be the best that you can be. Our power does not lie in changing the events around us. Our power lies in changing our perception of the events around us. There is the center of your power today. Oh, if I could just get rid of this. Oh, if I could just change this in this one. That's control. That's ego. Ego wants to manipulate. It wants to control. And the thing is, even if you could do it sometimes, you don't even want it once you've taken control and shaped something in some way that you want it. You're going, don't think I want that. But we really do have to come to a place that everyone in our life, every event, every condition in our life is our self-creating for a higher good. So let's take a moment this morning before we're done to do whatever. I don't have anything to call it. But I'm going to ask you to open yourself for renewal, restoration, regeneration. I'm going to ask for a new supply of our inheritance to be given to us. For it is your Father's pleasure to give you the things of the kingdom of heaven. Do you get the principle? I'm not preaching to you that. I'm telling you, it is the pleasure of Source to give you today. If we're burnt out, if we're weary, if we're tired, if we just don't know where to go with it, feel like we've used the last bit of energy to deal with it, and we're on the edge, about to have a breakdown, just ready to retrieve and shut the door and never come out again. Probably you're in one of the best spiritual places of anybody on the planet. How you like that for a shift in perception? You're probably the true first fruits of the harvest. I've said about all these people losing their jobs and whatever, they are in the greatest place of anybody to dig deep and be creative and entrepreneurs and create new jobs and new ways. Somebody needs to tell them that they don't have to go back and fix their job in the corporate world that's trying to fall down. There is creative ideas waiting to be awakened within them. And there are in you and I that have in any way feel we've come to the end, that we don't know where to go. That I've spent my rightest living in doctors, and I'm talking about on both sides of the aisle. I'm talking about even in the alternative. Everybody's got a magic potion for me. Everybody's got a new machine for me. Everybody's got a new herb for me. Everybody's got a new modality to me. And I've been so vulnerable, I'm just bringing it in till it's embarrassing. Every time I have people come into my house, I have to box everything up and go hide in the garage. It's something else. And they're good. They're good herbs. And they're good people. That was right on. And I've been tested and I realize it. You hear what I'm saying? But maybe that's not the core where I need it. Maybe those things will work better once I put the axe at the root of the tree. So I run around, I get massages, but I love massages. But they don't fix me. Massages feel good when you're getting a massage. You get relaxed for a few hours a day. You sleep a little better that night. Great. I had a great massage last night. Keith there. Wonderful. Everybody should get massages. I would not be without it, but it's not going to fix me.
Didn't want to.
Thank you. That's why I came to you. I hope I'm just trying to get to that place. So I've spent it all. I'm tired. Maybe I'm tired, too tired to go to as many doctors next week. Maybe after this weekend, Randall, I'm going to cancel two of my appointments. Yay. Come on, encourage me a little bit. Yay. Support me. Maybe just two. Two out of the 10. I don't know.
Let go of it. Release the illness from your body. Don't own it anymore.
So let's just ask for, there's a scripture that says, and there will be refreshing times from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing times. So I want us to be refreshed, restored, renewed. I want us to be filled. But you got to come as empty bowl. You got to come as the empty cup that we used to sing about. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. But nobody said empty at first. So I guess my message is kind of spiritual management. Living the conscious life as you leave here, being more conscious. Don't forget what you have felt this morning. Don't forget what you've heard this weekend. Bring it into the mundane. Bring it into the everyday. Remind yourself many times in the day, I am a whole magnificent child of this universe. And all is well. And all is well. Help me to learn every lesson that I have chosen to learn. And let me move forward back into the state of awareness where I realize I am the dreamer, not the dream. I remember when my daughter was young and she used to come stay with me, and there'd be times I'd get up and go check on her, have that feeling. You mothers know what this is. Your parents know what it is.
And I'd go in there and she'd be having this horrible nightmare and tossing around, kicking the covers off. And I'd think, oh man, I don't like where she is. She went to a far land. Boogeyman's about to get her. That was real to her. And her body was responding, the heart rate, the perspiration, everything was going with it because this is what it said was real. But I knew better. I knew she hadn't gone anywhere. She was safe in her bed. I didn't even care to know about the monsters that's about to get her because they wasn't real. All I cared about was one thing, and that was getting my voice into her ear enough to say, awake my daughter and know that where you think you are not. That you are safe. Yes. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the voice of divine source penetrating the human dream to say, awake and know that you're home. Hello. Again, I hope you've enjoyed this month's CD. Made it our 19th annual Labor Day weekend retreat right here in Dayton, Ohio. And as usual, it was a wonderful weekend, but it was very unique and special and set apart from all the other Labor Day weekend retreats that we've had. There's certainly something in the air, something special. We had wonderful speakers all the way from Colorado that gave us tremendous amounts of information about the signs of the time in which we're living. We're going to have to process all that information, but it's at least been put in our spirit, and our spirit can allow us to recall that information as we empower ourselves for any type of changes or shifts that may go on during this season and time around 2012. So we are in that season now. Many of you are already feeling it at every level. You're feeling it at the physical level, mental, emotional, your moods, your sleeping patterns. This is something that's not just happening to some elite or few people, but it is happening on a planetary level, no doubt about it. This particular meeting was very powerful, as all of them were, and I hope that you will feel the spirit and the presence that this group of people created and brought forth into this service, that it will somehow translate and come through the CD into your home or car or wherever you're listening to it, that you can be a part of what took place in this great weekend meeting. Be sure and look at all of the different schedules that is coming up for the rest of this year. Very busy this year. Some good meetings coming up, as well as a lot of the teaching for modalities and the tuning forks. I told the group at the retreat who have not ever attended the tuning fork workshop, the Soma Energetics workshops, that I noticed I was very observant in the group because some of the group has had the workshops and some haven't. And I just noticed the people who had seemed to have a much broader ability to understand the language and the consciousness that was spoken this weekend. And I'm saying that because I think sometimes everybody thinks about it's just tuning forks, and I'm not going to be using tuning forks, and I have no desire to be a practitioner, but it's the information. Soma Energetics in itself is a ministry, quote unquote, unto itself. It is information that has been given and gathered. It is about consciousness and raising consciousness and expanding consciousness. So again, I really encourage you that can, and if you can't get to a workshop, then consider the DVD. The whole 6 hours of teachings of Soma Energetics are available to you on DVD, right in your own home. You can stop it when you want, go back and go, wow, what was that? I didn't quite get that. And listen to it again. So this is another option. I really encourage all of you that I've known for years, and many of you that have been on the CD of the month for a long time, who are really not involving yourself to move yourself forward, but just listening, but not participating, that day is over of the observer who is inactive, sitting on the sideline, watching all of this go by. You must become a part. If we're going to change our destiny, then we have to become a part of that change itself. We have to become a part of that consciousness. So I encourage you to find something that attracts you, that gets you involved. A lot of you are not in the best of shape in many areas, and I understand that too, because you're not involved, and we're too drawn into our own mundane, our own smaller world. Family issues, body issues, financial issues. It's all about ourselves. Now, this just absolutely smells of ego. It's the ego that wants us so self-absorbed into our own issues. So as we allowed this weekend to happen, it was about the bigger picture, actually. It was really not about just ourselves and our own problems, but it's about what our planet's going through and why we're here on the planet and what can we do to participate in it. So I hope that you will be stirred deep within the core of your heart and your spirit through the energy and the vibration and the spirit that come through these words of these next couple of CDs that you're going to get. So again, there's plenty of things coming up. I hope to see you that are in the Arkansas area, Oklahoma, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, October 1st through the 3rd. I'm going to be doing various workshops. So we're going to be doing talking about really what chakras about and DNA and about our relationships with so many different levels of relationships we're going to be talking about. I'm going to be in the New York City area again, and also we're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. That's kind of a new expo that we're going to be a part of in September, and also in the coming up Kansas City. That's a new one coming up, and again in Hot Springs is going to be a level one workshop. So if you're able to get to Hot Springs, which is a wonderful place to come and enjoy, as well as be part of a workshop. Spiritual meetings will be in Morgantown, West Virginia, and I see Hickory, North Carolina, and also be at Unity at Charlotte, both in the weekends of November the 5th through the 7th. So be sure and check out all of the interesting weekends. We're also looking at West Palm Beach, Florida in November. That would be on the next week after the 7th, on the 22nd or that weekend. But anyway, you down in that area, because I know some of you get the CD, you might check, you know, that know Dana Carlos. She's putting this together, and we're going to be meeting in a couple of places in the West Palm Beach, Florida area the weekend after Thanksgiving. It's the weekend after Thanksgiving. So, again, we love hearing from you. Let me know what's going on with you. And bless you that, again, remain faithful to keep this CD of the Month Club going. So bless you until next time. It is always my sincere prayer for you.